Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast, coming to you once again from Butler, Pennsylvania, where we are at the 2019 Butler Paranormal Convention.
Yes, once again, we're back. This is our second year in a row, and we love it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So, a lot of fun today. We have a few guests lined up that we're going to get on here.
Yeah, some new faces and some old friends.
Yes. So, let's get into our first interview.
And here with us in Butler, Pennsylvania, at the Butler Paranormal Conference. Once again, dear friends to the show.
Familiar faces.
Yes, it's so nice to see friends here, Nadine and John. Welcome back.
And good looking.
Yes. That's right.
Definitely.
And hot stuff. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hey, this is John Smith and Nadine from Black Swamp Paranormal of Northwest Ohio. And Joe and Jen invited us on for this podcast.
Yeah, so we heard that you had a very new experience
in
Holcomb Woods.
Okay,
and other
this
places.
Is going to have to be Nadine's story because
she
is the power player in this event. I was there and I experienced some of it, and it's like kind of weird.
Interesting. So explain to everybody what Holcomb Woods is, or where it is, and what it is.
Are
and
there
all that
trees?
Lots of trees.
Lots of trees.
Yeah. Make sure you bring the fried chicken into the story.
Okay. Well, we decided to go for my birthday to Holcomb Woods Road. And the woods is private property, but the road is not. And we just thought we'd take a couple of our team members down and go see if there's anything there. And it was kind of a big mess of a night. You know, we got there, and of course, being professionals, we all had to leave because we had to go find a gas station restroom and come back.
Been there, done that. Yes. many times.
That's one of the problems with going to places. They always say there's no electricity and no running water and that, and you're like, that's great, but there's a comes that point in time in the night,
take your own roll of toilet paper.
Yeah,
pretty much. You're shiwi. Yeah.
What?
I'll explain it to you later.
I don't want to know.
Okay, so anyways,
so we wound up
here
at
Tony.
A gas station that has like a little convenience store, and they had what we like to refer to as gas station chicken. It looked really good. It smelled really good. So we bought some, and we took it back to Holcomb Road with us. And when we got there, it is really dark. And let me tell you, Holcomb Road, it is not a road out in the middle of nowhere. It's a very traveled road.
Yeah, somewhat. I think the darkness is just amplified by the fact that we live in the flatlands, and it's farmland, so there's not a lot of wooded areas where we live. Mm-hmm. So the skylights and the light of town and everything kind of illuminates the flats. And now we're out in this wooded area where none of the light from sky can make it to the ground level, and it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, hon. I'm sorry for interjecting.
Well, while we were there, we were sitting in the car, and I saw a dark figure that you couldn't see through cross through the only light that we could see, and it was pretty tall. And I said, "Did you guys see that?" And I described it, and then, of course, they all had to get out of the car.
And
not knowing
we're investigators.
What this is.
That's what we do.
Right.
And
confront danger.
We, so we're sitting there on the road, and I'm thinking, I'm not getting out of the car. I don't care. I'm going to be the smart one. And so I rolled my window down, and it just was a really dark place. You know, they say Holcomb Road is just a thing the kids make up because there's nothing to justify it. But it is a very dark, heavy place. Mm. It's got a lot of energy. So while we were there, it just really felt off. You know how you go someplace and it feels off?
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, being a whiner and saying, "Hey guys, I think we ought to go," we stayed. And we started hearing footprints in the woods. And
footsteps, yeah.
And there's a little crunching of leaves and everything. And I'm in the car, and it's getting closer and closer. And the whole time I'm having this, like, feeling of dread, because I'm out in the middle of the woods next to a tree line and I can't see anything, and it gets to the best of us. And the next thing we hear is a coyote, like, let off. I don't know if you call it a howl
or whoops. They're like, whoop, boop.
And John here just pops off with this very colorful phrase, you know, and then yells it out at the top of his lungs, and they're all out there going, ooh. And then one of our investigators starts trying to speak coyote.
Oh.
Well, she did a good job. Yeah. She was repeating what the coyote was saying, and it was getting closer and closer. Great. And Nadine's getting worried because now we're not talking about paranormal. We're talking about a little wild animal coming towards the people that are out there in the road.
They'll bite your face off.
Wanting the chicken.
Don't take station fried chicken to Holcomb Road.
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure the fried chicken was like coyote bait. So,
but anyways, we got in the car and we left, and no one said anything to each other, and basically till like Monday, people started talking, and every single person that went there had like a feeling of just dread and heaviness. And it turns out for the rest of the week at my house. It really started Saturday night when we got home. There were two men in my living room talking, having a conversation.
Yeah, we were in the bedroom, and it was pretty simple. We're laying in the bed, and we hear two guys talking in the living room. And I thought, well, we must have left the TV on in the living room, or it unmuted itself. So I went out to the living room, and the TV was indeed on, and it was muted. Huh. The only thing is, the show that was on was like some kiddie show with little, like, preschoolers, and it's like there's no two men on this TV show.
Yeah.
Even if it did unmute for some stupid reason, it would have had to remute, and there was nothing, absolutely nothing, that would have caused men to be talking in our living room.
Could you hear any of their conversation or make anything out?
It sounded just like if Joe and I were out there talking and somebody was in the bedroom.
Yeah.
It just sounded like two people talking, two men talking out in our living room. A casual conversation about something.
And have you heard that in your house before been there?
Just that little 1.5 second sound bite, you know?
Yeah.
It just, boom, we heard the voices, and then it was gone. And I went out there, and there's nothing.
Wow.
And it was, I have no explanation whatsoever. I don't really think I have any way to investigate it, because I have no idea where to go with that. Mm-hmm. It's just strange.
Have you heard it since then?
No.
No, we had a lot of activity in the household, and I was sleeping one night, and something grabbed my ankle, and I woke up, and there were two what I am assuming to be dead people. They weren't living, and they were just at the foot of the bed, and one of them was still holding my ankle.
Wow.
And the following day...
So that's intelligent, because they're watching you and they're touching you.
Yeah.
It's not like a residual that's just walking through. That's scary.
Yeah, that was.
Know that they know that
what
you're there.
What did they look like?
You know, it's funny. I know they were women.
Okay.
You know, but if you ask me what they looked like, I can't give you any real discernible features.
So is it more of a sense of the presence that you're talking about here?
They felt like women.
Okay.
But if you ask me an eye color, I can't tell you.
But I mean, you say you saw them at the end of the bed. Was it more of a mental vision or a physical vision?
No, they were there. I could literally see them, like I'm looking at you guys.
Okay.
They were right there, just standing there, and they had their hands at their side, except for the one that had their hand on my ankle.
I wonder if they were just, you know, like, okay, knew that you could sense and see them, and they're trying to get your attention, like they had something to say, or... Were their mouths moving at all?
Yes.
But you couldn't hear them.
I couldn't hear anything. The mouths are moving, but I couldn't hear a single word.
Because when you said that, I was thinking, actually, well, maybe they saw you as a ghost and was like touching you, going, is this real?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't have an explanation for that. But, you know, I've been seeing a lot of, for lack of better words, dead people ever since in the neighborhood.
Wow.
You know, just about every day I see dead people, and I see one walking in and out of my house from the backyard. I mean, just every day until Rebecca Smut cleansed the house.
Was it like a residual where they were just doing the same thing every day, or were they just there?
They were watching me.
Okay.
They were literally watching me, and then, you know, the one would make a noise in the kitchen, and I would turn around, and it seemed shocked, you know, that I saw it.
Yeah.
And then it just, boom, out the door.
Wow.
So they know I'm there. They know I can see them.
That's very interesting.
All right, so for Holcomb Road, let's do a wrap up here on Holcomb Road. Holcomb Road, the paranormal, we've got a shadow figure crossing in front of the car and possible spirits that have followed us home. Mm-hmm. Now, the normal that we experience at Holcomb Road is a chicken-loving coyote out in the woods.
Yeah.
So just use your best judgment when you go out there. If you want the coyote, bring the fried chicken. If you want the paranormal, keep an open mind.
Yeah.
And don't go after dark, because it is a road that is traveled by cars. And
yes, be careful. It is actually a road, and people will drive down the road, and they'll probably wonder why the hell you're parked alongside the road. And
when they turn to look at you, it's a natural thing to turn the steering wheel to whichever way you're looking.
Yeah.
Right.
So be careful out there, people.
Yeah, be smart.
Do you know any of the history of Holcomb, why it's supposed to be haunted?
No, you know, I think a lot of it is hogwash.
Okay.
I mean, truthfully. Yeah. I mean, there used to be an old school bus out there in the woods.
Okay.
And because it was an old school bus and somebody parked it out there, they started making stories about the bus crash and children dying and all this, you know, the local lore.
How legends are made.
That's true.
And it may have basically provided the energy for this manifestation. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
It's kind of like Gibbs Bridge. I don't know if you guys have ever been.
Yeah, Gibbs Bridge, same thing.
Nothing's out there, but people have gone out there so much, and now all of a sudden there's stuff out
there. Exactly.
Yeah. I think the fear feeds it. I think you send people out there, and they go out there, and it's dark or whatever, and they hear a noise, and there they are like us, you know, who we're normally very cool, calm, and collected, and we're screaming at each other like we're in a horror picture.
Yeah.
You know, it's not very professional, and I think it feeds it.
But that's your natural human reaction, right? Sometimes you just can't help jumping out of your skin when something comes up and grabs your ankle in the middle of the night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, definitely. Well, guys, I'm really glad that you stopped by and gave us a little ghost story. Welcome back to the show anytime, and we've got to go investigating together.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so with us today, coming to you from Butler, Pennsylvania, Conference 2019, we have Dave and
Ryan.
Oh, my God. Dun, dun, dun. Legend Hunter Films. So welcome to the show, guys. Sorry I messed your names up.
Right.
I'm really bad with names, but I'm good with numbers, right? So, guys, I saw what's going on over there. We got
a lot of commotion going on over there, don't we?
I know,
yeah.
You do. That's great. It's always great to have people at your booth. Tell us a little bit about your films that you have right there. I see The Lost Gold of Dent's Run, Mountain Devil.
Lost Gold of Dent's Run is a new film we just released this week, which is a documentary film about gold that went missing up in Pennsylvania, up in the Driftwood area, or I guess Dent's Run.
It was a
Civil War
gold.
Okay.
And just recently, in the last year, FBI agents were up there digging.
Oh.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting? And that's what the film's kind of based on.
So what sparked your interest and wanted you to make this documentary?
I guess we could start off by talking about what Legend Hunters is, or Legend Hunter Films.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It used to be we started off as investigators of the Bigfoot phenomenon when we realized that there's a lot more to this, to things than just Bigfoot and paranormal. We wanted to do, you know, whatever. Legend Hunters, when we opened that group up, we wanted to be able to investigate anything that we, you know, anything that came along, whether it be lost gold or whether it would be Bigfoot or even a troll under the bridge type thing. We wanted to encompass everything. And what happened was we caught a hold of this legend, and one of our goals was to, a lot of times legends, they wound up forgotten and missing, and none of them is ever documented. And that was what our goal was, is to document them through film, which was Ryan's background. He was a filmographer or camera guy.
Yeah.
So we decided to put that all together and put them out into small films. So I'm sorry, but that's where the whole Dent's Run thing came from. And
talking about the folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
it's
yeah.
stories
yeah.
people know about, but no.
Yeah, a lot of times it's passed down orally, and, mm-hmm. and you know, you don't have that documentation, and it could be, you know, passed down from family members or, you know, neighborhoods or areas. But, you know, to be able to put it in some form of media and yep. be able to present it out to people is great, because we love that kind of stuff. You know, we're all about all things weird and strange, and I'm a treasure hunter. I love that mystery.
Yes,
you know, what,
yeah, for sure.
What drives your passion for that mystery? Was it something in your childhood or something that you, like, or is it an adult, like?
The whole mystery thing, and you know, to me, mystery is what makes life worth living, first off. I mean, it takes the boring, everyday, black and white crap out of it, you know what I mean? But when it started for me is my mom, it was actually her fault. She
blame it on the mother.
She bought me a book. It was on actually the Bigfoot phenomenon. And when you read the book, you read it down through, and if you flipped it over, it was about the Loch Ness Monster down through the rest of the way on the other side. And then that really got me thinking. And of course, then from there, I went to the movies that all Bigfooters claim that they've watched, you know, or say that that sparked their imagination or whatever, was like the Bogey Creek. You know, those type movies really. It was just... I don't know if that set it off, or if that mystery, just the love for mystery, was just already there, you know what I mean, type thing.
But. Yeah. We always say, like, one of life's greatest mysteries is what happened when you die, and that's why, you know, we have this great passion for the paranormal, because we want to find out what's going to happen.
Right.
And so how long did it take you guys to put this together, this documentary together?
We started filming that back in 2013. We started filming it.
Okay.
And at the time, I'm like, there's not enough there. You know, there's just not... At the time, it was an idea of budget-wise. You know, we're going to have to rent horses and uniforms and all this stuff. And then fast forward a year later, we got the FBI were down here. So we're like, I got to finish this project. We got to get this project done.
Get it out there.
Yeah. And a good friend of mine said, why don't you do animation instead? It'll save you money. And that's what we did instead. So it took quite a few years to get it done.
And do you think the FBI was down there because it got wind of what you're doing? Or do you think that there was other forces?
There was actually a group of treasure hunters we met down there, and who claimed they knew exactly where this gold was buried.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on state forest land, which you can't dig there.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to go through legal channels and went to the state, and I believe that it came to a court case, I believe it was. The judge came down with the ruling, says, yeah, you can dig here, but the FBI is going to be there, type thing.
To make sure that if you find anything, either they can snatch it or the cover.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, if it's on their land, they want it. They want that. They want that. So... we do firmly believe, I believe you have, I don't want to speak for you, but that something was taken out of there. Whether or not it was the Civil War gold, I'm not sure. But we do believe that something of value was found there.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they wouldn't be there if there wasn't
exactly.
something
right.
to
yeah,
it.
Exactly. They were scouting the area for almost 3 months beforehand, the FBI was. Okay. And they were, but they was excited about something.
Mm-hmm. They were giggly. They were giggly like school kids. They were,
They're definitely not going to dig just for the heck of it. Apparently something told them, with all the technology, you know, ground penetrating radar, all that kind of stuff, something told them that something was in that ground right there.
Right.
Otherwise.
And I talked to enough of locals down there that knew what was going on. Like, they said they were running power equipment late at night. And then the big tip-off was there's the bank trucks were down there, armored bank trucks. Were pulling up to this tent, carrying large boxes on there. But they kept saying, there's nothing here, you know.
Come on
and
now.
Then they shut down the road for...
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, they shut down the road for, like, a good 8 hours. Like, no one could drive down in that area.
Interesting. Now, did anybody film any of that?
They weren't letting anyone in.
The original treasure hunters that claimed to have found it, that got the FBI there, they wouldn't even let them up on a hill while digging being done.
That's so interesting. Did anybody ever find anything or claim to have found anything before the FBI got involved?
There's little stories here and there throughout time, like people found chunks of the gold.
Or a whole bar of it was found.
Yeah.
treasure maps were found on like old furniture sold at like
antique shops.
Like that. They said claim to have that map and everything, and
but nothing concrete to say this really happened.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Is there any other claims of gold anywhere else that still has not been? You don't have to tell me where or anything, but
there's old folklore stories throughout Pennsylvania of lost gold treasures. It's a lot of stories.
A lot of stories, especially about the Spanish as they, you know, when it came through, you know, whenever the Spanish was in America, they actually left stashes as they made their travels and things like that. Yeah. You hear a lot about that. Yeah,
that's interesting. Now, your other film that you have listed over there, Mountain Devil, give me a little background on that one.
Mountain Devil, we shot 2011 to 13. It was a documentary I started about Bigfoot in the Clearfield area.
Okay.
And then we stumbled upon a case up in that area that we followed. Mm-hmm. So it became like a documentary, docudrama about this family that had some Bigfoot occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
And the family got kind of close with us during filming, and they kind of gave us a lot more information and showed us some stuff that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, now, is that in the film? Or
yeah, it is
that
in the film, yeah, okay. After lots of teeth pulling. Yeah.
It was a very difficult thing to work on at one point because the witness on his deathbed this is when they were starting to talk to us. Once the man died, things kind of went cold for us at that point.
Yeah.
But it was, and what's neat about this documentary, unlike, you know, what's neat about this one in particular is it uses a lot of the investigators, and a lot of them here today, like Brian and Terry Seach, you know, they're all in the film, and he shows how it is like whenever you really go out and you're really investigating Bigfoot, you know, it even shows the boring parts.
Yeah, people don't realize
it's not always exciting.
It's not always splotchy.
It's like ghost it's like ghost hunting. People don't realize that something doesn't happen every 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
There's them times where you're
be sitting there and all of a sudden somebody starts snoring, you know.
I have fallen asleep in investigation. I'm just saying, right? It's people don't understand, when you are doing a film, a documentary, a show, it takes a lot of time. You know, what they're seeing is this edited down version and don't sometimes understand how much heart and soul and time you put into that. You could have hundreds of hours of field time of, you know, editing or anything, and then they're seeing this small thing, and then and they're like, will you take $5 off it? No, do you not understand how many hours of labor of love we put into this?
And that's just it. It's a labor of love. I mean, we don't make hardly anything. We don't make anything.
How much I'm in debt because of this?
Yeah.
How much time I lost, you know?
It just,
preach, brother.
Yeah. It's definitely a love.
But what's next on your horizons? Now, are you taking this around to different conventions? And
actually, I'm working with a TV company called Tom and Bob Adventure Series.
Okay.
They are going to air it this fall.
Wonderful.
And I am now a producer for the Tom and Bob show, so we have a TV show we're going to do for them.
Okay.
I have another documentary editing right now called The Legend of Davy Lewis, who was like an outlaw throughout Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then we have another film that's being edited called The Exorcism Prayer, which is based on
actual
exorcisms in the Pennsylvania area.
Wow. That's amazing.
So we got a lot on our plate.
We do. Man, I thought we were busy.
The Davy Lewis one will be the next one out.
That'll be the next one.
Okay. He was a very interesting character, Davy Lewis.
Yeah, give us a little teaser about him.
Yeah, well, Davy Lewis, actually, what he was considered was the Robin Hood of Pennsylvania. He, at least that was what they claimed.
Well, they claimed.
Yeah.
Kind of like a rob from the rich, give to the poor. One of Davy Lewis's claim to fame was a woman. She visited her house. And he would frequent at some houses, you know, where he'd stay overnight along his travels. And when he woke up in the morning, the woman was up sobbing. And he asked her what the problem was. And the woman says, well, the tax collector's coming. I'm going to lose my farm and everything else like that. So Davy Lewis says to her, he says, well, listen, I'm going to pay for your taxes. But when he comes, don't let him know I was here. And I need you to get a receipt. And so Davy Lewis took off. The tax collector came, took her money. She paid it, asked for a receipt. And on his way back from the farm, Davy Lewis robs her. Robs him. And he says it was the best
investment he ever had.
Investment he ever made. Oh, so, yeah. So, very interesting character. Actually, where we read where Davy Lewis, they had a search party out for him, and he was a member of the search party.
Because they didn't know what he looked like.
Yeah, nobody knew.
Now, what era was this?
1830s. Okay. Yeah. Oh, he died 1830s.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was.
He was from the Carlisle area.
He was from Carlisle. But he's like the Billy the Kid of Pennsylvania that no one really knows much about.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I can't wait to see that.
That's going
to
be fun.
If somebody wanted to get a hold of you or purchase one of your films, how can they get a hold of you?
Right now, we're on our website, which is legendhunterfilms.com. Mm-hmm. If you want to rent them or download them, it's Maddie G TV.
Okay.
And you can rent them there or download them there. Buy hard copies through the other website. So
that's amazing. Well, thanks, guys, for taking a few minutes out of your busy day.
We appreciate
it. You got a bunch of people at your table, so we won't hold you up. But thank you so much for coming on.
And
everybody, check out their movie. And we will talk to you again.
Absolutely.
Hopefully, our paths will cross again.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Jen, comes to a close to another awesome event.
We're wrapping it up. Butler is in the can. Yes, so they say. But anyways, we just want to thank everybody for stopping by the booth, for picking up some cool merch from us, and telling us all of their paranormal and ghost and UFOs and Bigfoot stories. A lot of Bigfoot stories today, definitely.
I had some stories about giants and mounds around here.
It's been a hot topic lately. We really have just dove into it.
And it just keeps going down different rabbit holes and that, but
this whole closing is going down a rabbit hole.
So anyways, we'll let you go, folks. Thank you for listening again this week. Stand by next week for some very exciting adventures here in Tutu Land.
It's never a dull moment.
All right.
But take care, everybody.
And remember, if this show brings you any kind of enjoyment, please share it with your friends. And we will talk to you next week.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.